Please be seated.
Are you a Christian? You're born again, Christian? Really? Is that a joke? In 2019, you realize it's 2019, right? We've disproved God, haven't we? You're not really a Christian, are you? Come on. Really? You believe the whole Bible? What, even the old bits? You don't believe it's all true, though, do you? The whole thing? From the front to the back, except the middle page, obviously, that divides the Old Testament from the New Testament. You must be insane to believe that. In 2019, wake up, people. We live in a world where that message is communicated in a very powerful way, in a number of different forms. And if there's one book in the Bible that speaks powerfully into the culture of our day in respect of us living out our Christian life in the face of toxic opposition and difficulty and rejection, it's this book of Daniel. Because in the book of Daniel, in his pages, we have contained the story of this young man, Daniel, and his friends, who will not relent, who will not abandon their pursuit of holiness, who will not stop living for and worshiping and obeying God and glorifying Him in their lives, despite the many, many forces they find battling against them. Torn from their homeland, taken captive to Babylon, forced to seek to glorify God in a culture opposed to God and in a culture opposed to the truth of God's word. In many ways, their challenge, their world, their existence is similar to our own. We too live in a world, in a culture that's against the Almighty, don't we? We're called, if tonight you're a Christian and you know and love Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, then we're called, you're called, I'm called to pursue holiness, to pursue righteousness and godliness despite the many forces that are against us. We too, the Bible tells us, are strangers. We are aliens in a foreign land, here to glorify the Lord in a world that hates the light of the gospel of peace and hates the person who brings that light. So if you, as a Christian, and I, as a Christian, seek to bring that light, we're going to be hated. Jesus said it. And in the light of that truth, we know it to be true, the question is, what are we to do as we're faced with rejection for Christ, as we're faced with ridicule, as we're faced with, I don't know, prosecution in this day, right? For standing for the truth. Well, we all know what we're tempted to do, which is keep quiet. But is that really what we're called to do? Over these coming weeks, we're going to travel through a new sermon series entitled Faith in the Furnace. And as we do, we're going to consider the examples of several different godly examples, godly individuals. And as I said, we're going to start off in Daniel. But we're going to visit different people in the scriptures. People who are faced with the choice of compliance to the world or faith and obedience in the God of heaven. And really my prayer is as we do it, as we think about these people, my prayer is that that we might be challenged in our hearts as we think about their lives, as we think about and observe their choices, as we see how God spectacularly blesses the lives of those who follow him, that we might seek to emulate them, to emulate their passion and shine as stars in the darkness. What will we do when our faith is in the furnace? What will you and I do when we go out into the world tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that as followers of Jesus, when we are confronted with opposition for what we believe and for who we know? Today we meet Daniel and his friends, Hananiah, whose name means the Lord has been gracious, Mishael, whose name means who is what God is, and Azariah, whose name means the Lord is my help. Now, of course, we all know Daniel's three friends better as shake the bed, make the bed, and to bed you go. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego They were the names given to them by the Babylonians after the exile. But here are these young men who are full of promise, who have what appears to be before them a very bright future. You know, life is ticking along very nicely for them. Thank you very much. When from nowhere there comes this moment in time where their whole lives, their whole world, their whole existence, everything that they know and are comfortable with, everything that gives them peace, everything is turned upside down in a moment for them. They are dragged off to a strange land where there are strange people with strange customs and a strange language. How are they to respond to this unexpected interruption in their lives? How are they to respond to this trial? What would it do to their faith in God? What will unexpected trials do to us? What we discover, and I'm sure we all know the story of Daniel and his friends, is that these young men who have every reason to toe the line, who have every reason to conform, who have every reason to seek to walk the easy path, they actually possess a faith and a godly determination and a boldness and a courage that actually keeps them heading in the direction of glorifying God, keeps them heading in a place that solidifies their convictions and keeps them true to worshiping the one true living God. They will not dishonor the Lord. They will not deny him no matter what. And here's the point. God honors faith like that. God honors faith like that. So in our lives, do we show that kind of faith? Are we true to what we say we believe? If you're a Christian, and when I say Christian, I mean, if you are born again by a work of the Spirit of God in your life, there's only one type of Christian, born again Christians, then ask yourself the question, do I honor God by the way that I live out my life? Am I public in my faith for Jesus Christ? You know, I remember when I first became a Christian, the day I became a Christian was amazing. I got fired the next day, if you know the story of my testimony. So that wasn't a great start from my perspective. God knew what he was doing. But I remember vividly speaking to my older brother and his friend in their car. You couldn't stop me speaking about Jesus. I'm not so forthcoming nowadays. I mean, I'm a pastor. It's easy to do it from here. It's easy to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's easy to talk about the Bible when you're a pastor from a pulpit. But around my peers, with my family, it's not always easy, is it? And if anybody here does find it easy, then come and see me afterwards, because maybe you're not doing what you think you're doing. It's not always easy. Do we live our lives showing that we belong to Christ, or are we ashamed of him? Are we crushed in our Christian witness because of peer pressure, because we're afraid of what other people might think, because we're afraid that if people know that we're Christians, then that might have a negative impact on our lives, and we don't really want a negative impact. We want our cake and we want to eat it. When it comes to honoring God in our lives, when it comes to living for Christ, when it comes to being bold and standing for truth, for the truth of the Bible, the question is, are we prepared to do it? Isaiah 6, verse 8, Isaiah recounts a vision. He says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' And Isaiah said, 'Here am I, send me.'" It's a great challenge in this generation, isn't it? Whom shall I send? Who will go for me, the Lord says. Here am I, send me. Is that our heart's cry? In response to the great love of God toward us, in the light of the cross, in the light of everything that Jesus has done in coming to this world and living that perfect life that you and I can never live, and then sacrificing his life, laying down his life for us, suffering death, suffering the wrath of God for our sins that we deserve, in the light of everything Jesus has done and everything that he is. So often our love for him is lukewarm at best. Are we standing for the truth of the Bible? Are we willing to make that commitment to him? Where we find God's people here as we arrive in the book of Daniel really is shipwrecked in their faith. The situation they find themselves in as a nation is grim. King Nebuchadnezzar is invading. And it's all been caused by their disobedience to God. It's interesting how, as if you're a born again believer, how sometimes when bad things come into our lives, we grumble and we complain as if somehow something's gone wrong in the sovereign plan of God. But very often the bad situations that happen in our lives, that they're our fault, and God sends situations into our lives that are designed to bring us to our knees, because so often we're tempted to be isolated from God and go it alone, and we fall into sin and we fall into temptation. And they're the times, if we are regenerated, if we're born again, where God says, right, you know what, I'm going to send this thing into your life, and it's going to stop you in your tracks, and you will seek me. God does that. God allows this calamity as an act of judgment upon them because of their sin. And actually, their fall from grace was prophesied. You can read about it. Prophesied to King Hezekiah in 2 Kings 20, verse 16. 2 Kings 20, verse 16 lays it all out. Bedtime reading for you. Or if you can't find 2 Kings, go to Isaiah chapter 39. Exactly the same prophecy is found in that chapter. Hezekiah had shown the representatives of Babylon around his treasures, and really, as he showed them around, he was hoping to win a political partner against the Assyrians. Basically, he didn't trust God. He lost his faith in God. He thought, right, I need some extra help. And it was that lack of faith that led to the prophecy, and the prophecy said, right, all the treasures you'd shown to the Babylonians and some of your own descendants, they're going to be carried off to Babylon. Eventually, you're going to lose everything. And what we see before us as we come into the book of Daniel, as we get into the very first few verses, is that prophecy coming into view. The consequences of the sin, of lack of faithlessness, here is coming to fruition. Exactly what God said would happen to them is happening to them. So this is the reality that Daniel and his friends find themselves in. And you know, I feel for them because it's not their fault. They didn't do this. They're very young. Maybe they're some have suggested they're as young as 15 years old. It is, we read the beginning of the Babylonian domination. Jehoiakim, King Jehoiakim became king of Judah in 609 BC after King Josiah died. He's only reigned for 3 years or so, and it's at that point that Jerusalem is besieged by King Nebuchadnezzar. As a result, he's taken into captivity, and with him, we read, go a load of precious items taken from the temple of God and placed in a temple for false gods. And as you read it, it's not easy reading. What can we learn about this account as we think about it when we're looking at Daniel and his friends? Well, the first thing we're reminded is that when our world falls apart, when everything is going wrong, when it looks like our lives are spinning out of control, if our faith is in God, we have a God that we can trust. Maybe you've lived that truth out in your life. Everything's been going wrong, but God has been faithful to you. God can be trusted when the bad days come. One of my favorite, I can't remember who said it, but I love it. Maybe you'll be able to tell me afterwards. But I often say it to people who are going through difficult times, what you lose in the fire, you find in the ashes. And that's true if you're trusting God. We go through the fire, but what you lose in the fire, you find in the ashes. Here was Daniel. He grew up in Israel, in Jerusalem. He had the word of God. He had the temple. He prayed to the God of Israel. And one day, everything changes. This foreign enemy invades, conquers his nation. He's taken to this different culture, different environment. They have this different language, different literature, different people, separated from his family. They eat different food. And you know what the general message is to him? The general message to Daniel is very simple. They say to him, you cannot stay as you are. That's the long and short of it. You cannot stay as you are. Nobody here is like you. You're too different. You stand out too much. We don't want to hear about your God. You need to do things our way or else. Sound familiar? It was a tough time for Daniel. What was he to do? What do you do when your world falls apart? What do you do when life suddenly gets flooded with insurmountable problems and you're looking for human answers, but you can't find a human answer, and you start to panic. Can God be trusted then? That's the question. You know, as we get into those situations in our lives, there is an enemy, the Bible tells us, that prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for those he may devour. He's real. That danger's real. And he whispers in our ears, you know what? God can't be trusted. You can't trust God. His promises won't hold. He's a liar. In those moments, and they're sobering, fear-filled moments, we need to have an answer to the question, is God still there? Is he? Does he still see what's going on in my life? Does he still love me? Am I going to make it through this? Can you trust God when your world falls apart? That's the question. And that's what the world will see in us when it comes to trouble. When we're trusting him. That's where the peace that passes all understanding comes in. You know, if your trust is in the God of heaven, if your life is in his hands, if you're saying to him, Lord, I don't understand what you're doing, but I know you're good. I know that everything you allow into my life is for my good, ultimately, and for your glory. When you live like that and your life is in his hands, when the bad times come, you'll be given, you'll possess that peace that passes all understanding. And people will look at your life and say, how can it be that whatever your name is going through this difficult time, but they still have joy? I don't understand. They still have hope. They still seem to have peace. That's what the world will say when they see a faith in the furnace that's real. If all you have tonight is religion, but you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will never know that experience in time of trouble. You will never know the reality of Psalm 46 that tells us God is an ever-present help in time of trouble. You see, the theme of Daniel is a glorious one. The theme of Daniel is there is a God in heaven, and despite what appears on the surface, he's in control. We need to be reminded of that at times. He's not absent. He's not uncaring. He's not forgetful. He's all-knowing. He's ever-present and he's all-powerful and he is love. Even though Daniel was in a totally different culture and a different land, God knew what was going on in his life. God was behind the scenes orchestrating all of it, just as he is with you and me if our trust is in him. It's so easy. It's so easy to trust God when life is easy and going great. But when the trial comes, will we still trust him? Will you still trust him? When your heart is broken, will you still trust him when that tragedy happens? Will you declare like Job, though he slay me, yet shall I trust him? Will you trust him when you can't trace him? Will you trust him in the darkness and in the depravity and in the despair? Will you say, Lord, I know you're still in control. I know, even though I feel like I let go of you, you promised you will never let go of me. Daniel did. The second thing we see is that when it comes to our hearts, we have a tendency to compromise. Compromise, it keeps us out of danger, doesn't it? That's what we think. We're a bit like a hunter sometimes. A hunter who went out one day into the forest to shoot a bear. Winter was fast approaching. He thought, I'm going to find a bear, shoot a bear, and make a really nice, warm, woolly, bear's woolly, furry coat out of a bear skin. And as he was walking out, suddenly, in the sight of his gun, he sees this bear. And so he raised his gun, he took aim, and just as he was about to pull the trigger, the bear turned around and said, wait! It's not a true story, I don't think. Why do you want to shoot me? Said the bear. The hunter replied, well, I'm cold. The bear said, but I'm hungry. Maybe we can reach a compromise. And in the end, the hunter was well enveloped with the bear's fur, and the bear had eaten his dinner. It's a funny story, but it has a serious point. Disobedience, even partial, is sin. And we always lose out when we try to compromise with sin. It consumes us in the end. Daniel and his friends here, they're being tempted to compromise their beliefs. They're being tempted to compromise what they hold dear. And you know, what happened to Daniel 2,600 years ago happens to us if tonight we're seeking to live by faith. Because we have a godless culture around us, a culture that seeks to eradicate God, eradicate His words. You see it everywhere. A culture that wants Christians to keep quiet and conform. So we're just like everybody else. Heaven forbid anybody get offended. But the problem with that is actually the gospel is offensive. The gospel's offensive. That's why Jesus said, you will be hated because of me. And our job, if you're a believer tonight, is to take the good news of Jesus Christ into the world. And you can't compromise on the gospel. Because as soon as you start compromising on the gospel, guess what? There's no power in that message. There's no truth in that message. So in order to fulfill our calling as believers, we have to speak the truth. We're not going to be liked for that. We're tempted to compromise. We're not to be like everybody else. We're not supposed to be like everybody else. We're not supposed to blend in. We're not supposed to be like the ungodly. Remember what we thought about a few weeks ago, 1 Peter 2:9? You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. We're not supposed to be like everybody else. We're supposed to be different. You're supposed to be different. I'm supposed to be different. We're supposed to be in the world, yes, but not of the world. But if we're honest, is there anything about our lives that's unique to those outside of the kingdom of God? We're tempted to compromise in a society that's against God for the easy life. And so was Daniel. And you know, Nebuchadnezzar was pretty clever because he knew if he could change the minds and the hearts of teenagers, get them while they're young, he knew that most likely he would have them for the rest of their lives. 1 John 2:15 says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. And that's the root problem of compromise. We love the world more than we love God. We seek the approval of the world more than we seek the approval of the Almighty when we compromise. Paul challenges us in Romans 12:2. He says, do not be conformed to what? To this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Do not be conformed to this world. Why? Why does he say that? Well, he says it because this world is only temporary. It's when we forget that fact that we start living however we want. Do not be conformed, he says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Transformed into what? 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Conform, Daniel. That's what he was told. Conform, be like everybody else. Christian believer, conform. Watch these things that we're all watching. Listen to this music that we're all listening to. Go to this place that we're all going to. Be like us. It doesn't matter. It's what the world says. You know what's cunning? The offensive of the evil one here in the life of Daniel and his friends, it isn't what you'd expect because they're not persecuted. They're not shackled. They're not abused. They're not locked up in a dungeon somewhere and forced. No, the enemy uses a different strategy. They're fed extravagant food. Did you notice it? He says, not just good food, the king's food. Food and wine from the king's table, verse 5. They're seduced, enticed, they're overindulged. They're welcomed with open arms. James 1:13, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. And that's what the world plays into in your heart and mind. We get enticed by the world. We overindulge to the point, actually, we don't have much time for God anymore. And before we know it, we're so busy doing all the things the world does, we're so busy blending in, following other people instead of God, our Christian witness becomes a non-event. We don't desire to have the time or to get on our knees and pray to the Lord. Daniel had to make a choice here. The choice was, am I going to compromise everything I believe in and be like everybody else in this culture and make my life easy and make my life comfortable and keep my life safe? Or am I going to take a stand? And somewhere along the line, you have to decide that, and so do I. Are we going to seek to obey God and honor him in our lives, or just abandon our faith because it's too much like hard work to be salt and light in this world? You know, they gave Daniel a new name, Belteshazzar. His name means, well, I found two meanings of his name, but I'll give you one of them. Protect the life of the king. It's kind of vain, isn't it? Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, all their names originally had something to do with the living God of Israel, but their names are replaced by these pagan names that we know of, and all of their names were connected to these pagan gods. Belteshazzar, servant of Baal. In other words, this is what Daniel was being told. He's given this new name. He's taken this new place. He's given this new food. He's being told this. He's being told, Daniel, we're not going to call you by your Hebrew name anymore. We're going to give you a new name, and it's going to represent a pagan god. But you know what's interesting? As you read through the book of Daniel, Daniel keeps being called Daniel, doesn't he? He's called Daniel throughout all of it. He didn't accept his pagan name, I believe. He had an identity, and it wasn't a worldly one. We have to decide, am I willing to be called a Christian in 2019? Am I willing to stand up in my school? Am I willing to stand up in my job? Am I willing to stand up in my community? Am I willing to stand up in my neighborhood? Am I willing to stand up in my family and say, I'm a born-again Christian. I'm trusting Jesus Christ for heaven. He is my King. He's my Lord. I'm not ashamed. I believe the Bible to be truth from cover to cover. Am I willing to say like Paul in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Greek. We've got to make a choice. King Nebuchadnezzar said, you guys come here, I'm going to be your new authority. Forget about God. Forget the Bible. Here are your new names. You're not Daniel anymore. You're Belteshazzar, and you're going to eat my food. You're going to drink my wine. I'm in charge of your life. How are you going to act? How are you going to behave? Daniel had to decide. The problem was, Daniel's Old Testament told him he was only to eat food that was kosher. He couldn't eat meats like pork. He couldn't eat beef that had been offered to idols, sacrificed idols. So because of his faith, he makes a decision to stick to his diet and not compromise. When it comes to our hearts, we have the tendency to compromise. And very quickly, as I finish, despite the tendency, when it comes to our witness, there's a way that we can triumph. When we hand our lives over to God, we triumph. That's what Daniel did. Look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. Now, I like the King James translation of this verse. It said, Daniel purposed in his heart. In other words, he said within himself, I know who I am. I know who I'm trusting. I know what he's done for me. I know he's glorious. I know he's worthy. I trust that my life is in his hands. And you know what? Nothing and nobody is going to stop me worshiping him and praising him and living for him and obeying him. He made a commitment. Sorry to use a swear word in church. He put himself out for the glory and the honor of God. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to stand up in the face of our godless culture and say, I will not defile myself. I will say no to sin. I'm not going to go along with the crowd. I don't care how you think it makes me look. I'm willing to be different. You'll notice that after delicately and sensitively negotiating with the chief official, he just has vegetables and water to drink for 10 days. They all do. And after 10 days, Daniel and his friends are examined. And guess what? They look healthier. They look better nourished than any of the other young men who subsequently are also put on a vegetarian diet. I'm not sure they're very popular with Daniel and his friends after that. What was the outcome of his faith? Well, the outcome of his faith, the outcome of his determination, the outcome of his stand for the Lord was God was faithful to him. God honored Daniel because Daniel sought to honor God. And he blessed him and his three friends. Verses 17 to 20 tell us he gave them knowledge, he gave them skill, he gave them wisdom. To Daniel, he gave understanding and visions and dreams. They became the best of the young men who'd been trained 10 times better than all of the rest. And they served in the presence of Nebuchadnezzar. And as we go through our lives, the question is, how will we show that we belong to Christ? How are we going to live out our lives if we have experienced the love and the mercy and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in and through our lives? What are we willing to sacrifice? What are we willing to do for him? Will we blend in with everybody else? Or will we boldly stand and tell the world that we belong to Jesus? Will we look to him for help? Or just fall into the cracks in fear? Are we willing? Are we ready to put our faith into the furnace? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray if there's anything I've said tonight that isn't helpful, may it just be completely forgotten. The only thing that matters is your word and your spirit to us tonight. And Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its truth. We feel the weight of its challenge. Lord, I do. I just pray you'd help me, help us to live the lives we're called to show that we belong to you, to have that image of the Lord Jesus Christ cultivated in our lives, that people might see him in us and be drawn to you, be moved from that broad road that leads to destruction to the narrow way which leads to eternal life. Lord, may we never ever be a hindrance to you. Lord, please be glorified in and through us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.